Sorry, it's just been so long since we did a podcast.
A little out of practice. Yeah.
Sorry if my voice sounded off.
I forgot how we start these things.
Sorry if my voice sounded off. I took some bad medicine earlier and it's affected the way I sound.
Oh my gosh, right off the bat.
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know either. I'm Ryan.
I'm James. I'm sorry, I'm McDoodles.
I'm Steven?
Are you?
I don't know.
Are you? Have you been?
I don't know. It's been a couple weeks.
What are you?
I'm Steuben.
Raise your hand if you're Steuben.
Oh my God, we got the admittance. I'm Michael.
Nice. Are you still just yourself?
Am I?
We haven't come up with a nickname for Michael yet.
That jerk.
Here at From Under a Rock, one of us, the winner of last week's challenge, picks a movie for the rest of us to watch, preferably something that no one else has seen, and bringing them out from under the proverbial rock.
Rock. I was trying something that didn't work.
So yeah, apologies about the brief hiatus. We had some...
No apologies, Ryan. No apologies.
Oh, hiatus. My gosh, you just stole one from us.
Hiatus. Hiatus.
It's celebratory hiatus.
We're trying some new sound effects this week.
That was the exact same one.
We're trying some new... points in the podcast for the same sound effects this week.
Anyway, we did have some difficulties in getting the last episode up, but now we are here. We are back. A lot has happened, I feel, in the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
Michael, what have you been up to?
What have I been up to? Still just a lot of working, but I'm also a single male now. Which is a bummer, but also not horrible. I'm surviving.
That was kind of a non-committal woo. Like it could have been happy or sad. I feel like.
I'm sorry. I meant it to be like eligible, like on a sitcom, or like when people are like, "I'm single now." Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
If it didn't come off like that,
oh no,
I apologize.
It didn't come off like that at all.
Well, it
didn't get that one bit.
It actually occurred before. We've done a couple podcasts since it happened, but now I'm like, it's been a month.
You're finally ready to talk about it.
I'm finally ready to talk about it. And well, a very fun anecdote I have about it.
Oh, okay.
So I went to a show at Upright Citizens Brigade Theater called Crash Test. I know at least three of us here have been to that show before. I don't know if Steuben has.
I have. I think I might have.
Okay. Well, it's hosted by Rob Shear, Rob Hubel and Paul Shear.
Collectively.
The mutants.
Rob Shear, yeah.
Rob Shear.
And it's basically them doing whatever they want for about 25 minutes to 30 minutes at a time and bringing out stand-up acts in between. Now, what comes with them doing whatever they want oftentimes includes crowd work. And so last time I was there, they asked anyone in the crowd, they're like, has anyone here been through a breakup recently? I did not want to raise my hand, so I didn't. But another girl did, and then they started questioning her about it, and they're like, you know what? We're going to find you a date here tonight. And basically their whole thing was like a dating game. And they said, so anyone in the audience who's single, raise your hands and shut your eyes, and she is going to handpick based on looks alone if she wants you to be a contestant. And who was the first contestant that she picked? This guy, because I was seated and she couldn't see I was chubby.
Was she a schoolboy's dream? I'm just asking.
Yeah, on a scale of 1 to 10, she was a schoolboy's dream.
Okay.
Yes, yes. And then I feel that I
feel like that should be our new rating scale for movies.
Yes.
1 to 10, 10 being schoolboy's dream.
Yeah, yeah. And then through the rounds of questions, I felt I did the best to where at the end when Rob and Paul were like telling her to make a choice, they were kind of heavily leaning towards me.
Oh, wow. You must have done well.
And a lot of the girls in the audience were also saying contestant 3, who was me. All the guys in the audience were saying contestant 2 because, as a joke, this girl picked a female contestant.
Oh, of course.
And I think she did that for the easy out. And that's who she ended up picking in the end. But it confirmed my ego, or maybe
it confirmed that you have an ego, or
it validated
me. I don't know if there was any question that you had an ego. If you could have just asked us,
yeah,
you know,
we would have been truthful.
I needed to find out on my own.
Understandable.
And then the other thing going on in my life, the big news is the Texas student television show that I did when I was in college just won a national best comedy award at the College Broadcasters Incorporated.
Amen.
So, yeah, I mark that down as one of my bigger accomplishments in life. I'm very proud of that.
Beautiful.
And James was a part of that.
I happen to be part of that as well.
Well, everyone here was a part of it.
Yeah.
James was a regular, a main cast member with me. Ryan guest starred in 2 episodes. Stephen guest starred in 2 episodes.
I approved the series, guys.
That's true.
You didn't. You didn't.
I gave you like a lot of hoops to jump through.
Yeah, I was like, hey, Stephen, can I have a show? Can I do a show? And you're like, nope. And I was like, well, I'm going to do a show. And you're like, okay.
No, that is, we both know that's not how it went.
So I remember it.
All right, Stephen, what have you been up to, sir?
Ah, geez. A lot of conventions. I went home to Texas. I did Alamo City Comic Con. And I came back out here the week after. I did a Kamikaze. So a lot of conventions. We got to go to some fun YouTube stuff, a couple of us. And I don't know. It's just a lot of fun parties and Halloween festivities.
Mm. Oh, yes.
So I went to no less than 4 Halloween celebrations this year because Halloween fell on the odd Thursday this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was confused even going in whether people were going to be celebrating it the week before or the week after. Turns out we just did both.
Yeah. You know? Well, that's safe to assume.
But yeah, one of those included a YouTube Halloween party. I don't know.
Did you love it?
I had a lot of fun there.
It was fun.
Actually, yeah.
It was a love it party.
So yeah, you know more of those people than I probably do. Who was there?
Who was there? Okay, YouTube-wise, we had Professor Puppet, we had Olga Kay, we had Lauren Francesca, we had... I said Olga K already. We had mm-hmm. Black Nerd Comedy. We had Katie Wilson. We had Aaron from Annoying Orange. We had Hyperdrive Pictures a little bit. we had... Those are the ones that stick out. There might have been a couple others, but those are the ones that I remember being like, hey, I got to talk to these guys.
Yeah, it was...
And I did. I actually did some good networking there.
It was very cool. Everyone was in costume. It was at a really nice house up in the Hollywood Hills.
Yeah.
With an amazing view.
We could see the building city, James works at.
That's true, yeah.
Oh, wait, when?
Last Wednesday. The day before Halloween for whenever this comes out, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
Wait, why didn't you tell me? You told me Vader betrayed and murdered my father.
So anyway.
Your father? I can't remember the rest of the quote off the top of my head. From what I told you was true from a certain point of view.
A certain point of view?
Luke, you're going to find many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our point of view. We should stop before this goes any further.
So before it goes for the rest of the movie.
The next night was actual Halloween, which I spent going to the Arcade Fire concert at the Palladium in Hollywood, which was really fantastic. Their new album had just come out 2 days before, and I had, of course, been listening to it nonstop, and they ended up playing most of the new album at the concert. It was very exciting. Did anybody else do anything fun, exciting for Halloween, James?
Halloween was a night that quickly went by in a blur and will not be spoken of.
All right.
But yeah, we were on hiatus for a little while there, and so I mean, I went to the YouTube space for their Halloween shindig, and that was fun.
Oh yeah. Do you want to tell the story?
What exactly happened, by the way? Because I thought we were going to the same thing.
Yeah, so I mentioned, like, hey, I got an invite and a +1 to this Love It party. And James, you go, oh, so did I. And I was like, oh, great, we can get more people over there. Okay, well, I'll see you there. And I assumed that
you,
like,
said YouTube party.
Yeah,
you didn't,
I said,
say
a, I said a
party.
YouTube party.
I was
party.
Like, oh, he must be going to the YouTube space. And I was like, yeah, I'm going there too.
So,
and then I show up there and we're like texting each other.
Yeah, like we're each texting each other, be like, when are you going to get there? And I'm like, you know, hey, I'm heading out. And you're like, hey, okay. Oh, I'm here already. I'm like, oh, I feel bad. He's going to be there waiting for us.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, is there anybody there? Yeah, I'm in the lobby. And I'm like, lobby?
What lobby?
There's no lobby.
And I was like, you're going to the YouTube party, the YouTube space, right? And you're like, yo, I'm going to the Lovett party. And I was like, the fuck's the Lovett party?
Yeah, no. And this all started because, like, I was getting updates on the Facebook event, and it was like, hey, if you're going to RSVP, do it by 1 p.m. because we have a guest list and it closes at 1. So I was like, hey, did you RSVP on the Facebook event? And you were like, what Facebook event? I got an email, and I'm like, how's he going to get in?
It was very confusing. We thought we were going to the same party, and we clearly were not.
Your thoughts betray you.
That's
father. I feel the good in you. The conflict.
There's a lot of conflict.
This confusion and hysteria is, you know, makes for really scary stuff. Almost as scary as Bon Jovi in Vampires Los Muertos.
That's correct.
Very, very scary.
Which
indeed.
Steven has brought to the table for us.
My pants are still moist.
I'm
That's,
not.
What? Yeah.
Is that from the movie?
No.
You're just saying.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the water
I think
water
that was,
made you.
Wasn't that from the lingerie ad that you were filming earlier?
Oh, yeah. That's right. I get the two confused for some reason.
What? Van Jam Band.
Jan Band Jammy?
Yeah, Jan Band Jammy versus lingerie commercials. You confused the two.
Well, I mean, yeah.
There was a crotch shot of Bon Jovi.
There was
the end of
John Von Crotch shot.
Just an off camera. It was very tastefully done. You know.
Yes. It's artsy.
Tasteful nudes.
All right, Steven. Why? Well, we know why you brought this movie.
We know why.
We, know we don't why. Really have to ask. All right,
I'll ask this. Why did you do this to us?
Okay. So my friend Paco, I don't want to say too much because he might reveal it in a message he might have left for us, but he introduced me to
a
this
message.
Movie.
A message.
Send inside the droid?
SOS.
Inside the computer.
It's in the computer? But yeah, no, he told
Actually,
me about this
here,
movie.
If you want me to...
yeah, let's segue to it now. That makes sense.
I got an email from one Paco Vasquez. His email says, "Yo, dogs, this movie is awesome."
Going on.
That is it.
All right. Serious? Thanks for writing in, Paco.
Okay, that's
I can't do it, R2. I can't go on alone.
All right. So here's the reason. I don't think you guys know this. The church towards the beginning of this movie where they go in and they like lasso a vampire and pull her into the sun and like that whole little village. That's the school Paco went to in Mexico.
Is it really?
And he was going there at the time that they were filming this movie. So
what?
Like they would close sections of the school and the park and the church. And like that church where that little fight scene is actually like where he got his first communion.
That's so cool.
And so like,
and where vampires have been slain.
Where vampires have been slain. So sort of Paco went to the same school as Bon Jovi.
Okay,
sort
I'm so sorry. There is another email here that I missed on my first glance. But yes, he does explain all that stuff further. So
are you reading?
Oh, did you want me to read it?
Yeah.
You hyped us all up.
Yeah.
They filmed that movie when I was in either fifth or sixth grade. They filmed it literally next to my old school. That building is an old hacienda. This is the building at the very end where they jump into it.
I think
three
it's
times
more towards the beginning, like the first one of the first churches they go into.
Oh, okay. With
where when the kids,
lasso.
Yeah,
right.
The lasso. It's the lasso.
Gotcha.
The kid uses the John Bon Javelin.
Yes.
It's a very cool building. Used to film things all the time, including many telenovelas. And the other big movie that came to film was Original Sin, which has Antonio Banderas and Angelina Jolie.
Why
they had Antonio Banderas in this movie. The poor man's Antonio Banderas.
Yes.
Can I just say we need to say thank you to Ryan for like handling all this technology aspect of while we do the podcast. You serve your master well, and you will be rewarded.
Oh, thank you, I guess. Paco continues, "Bun fact, the scene where Bon Jovi and Diego Luna kill a vampire for the first time happens in a church. That church was also around the corner from my school and is actually the church where I had my first communion." There you go.
Bam. I have a good memory. And I always want to make a memory.
He actually says boom at the end of his email. So I don't know if you were looking over my shoulder there, Steven, but...
No, I wouldn't put it past him.
I know
him.
Paco too well.
I don't know Paco, but based on that, as much as I want to, I just have to say, I will not fight you.
Good to know. I would not want to.
Yeah, he
I have
moves.
No reason to fight
you. Some wrestling moves.
He clearly went to a vampire hunting school, so. But yeah, it's an interesting move. I'll save it for the rating, but I'll synopsize this movie. This movie is about John Bon Jovi. He's a vampire hunter. I like to think this movie is what he either A, does when he's not on tour, or B, he crafts his tour to go around to cities that have vampire infestations, and the tour is just a front so he can deal with these vampire infestations. But he's a vampire hunter, and he gets into another job hunting a certain vampire, and he finds out they're trying to complete a ritual that would let them be daywalkers, which would obviously be dangerous for all of humankind, so he has to stop them before they can do it. And along the way, he has to build his own team of hunters with a very incompetent woman and a less competent actress.
Can I just start poking holes right off the bat?
Yes.
Here?
Go.
Why is it more dangerous when they're daywalkers?
I guess because that's 12 more hours or 8 more hours.
Yeah, but
that they can...
people are asleep at night.
That's true.
And they're more vulnerable. I don't understand why vampires weren't just content to...
They kind of just wanted to get a tan.
Well, now they can travel during the day.
Yeah.
They can, like, move around and get to their destinations and then wait for night.
They don't have to bury themselves.
Yeah, they don't have to submerge themselves in sand.
I mean, who wants to do that?
Yeah.
Nobody.
Nobody.
I sure don't.
But, the girl is, like, a sort of half vampire, and she has to take a medication to keep it from... taking over. And that plays in a plot point, but it's not really clear, and the plot points aren't... none of these plot points are sharp.
I feel like a lot of the things that happen don't need to happen.
Yeah.
That was one of my many gripes with this movie, is just like, a lot of the things that are going on could just be completely skipped. Like, gosh, shit! We got a flat tire.
We got a flat tire.
It's like, okay, we'll fix that in 5 minutes and go be on our way.
And they leave other two vampires in the dirt where they could have easily killed them.
Not only that, they leave her medicine, her very bad medicine, behind. And she just is like, as if she just loses it. It's out in the open. I'm the only one who's pissed off about this.
I mean, they sort of explain it in the movie, but it doesn't redeem it. Because it's bad. It's a bad explanation for why they have the medicine.
I'm just saying, if these characters cared about the well-being of everyone in their crew, a couple of them at a couple different times would have said something along the lines of, I'm endangering the mission. I shouldn't have come.
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that, because they actually, towards the end, Derek tries a trick where he swaps his blood out with vampire blood in an attempt to camouflage himself to the vampires.
Something like that.
Because much like Darth Vader does to Luke Skywalker, the vampires can sense each other out, or they can sense humans out.
Yeah, yeah.
And so...
Somebody just solved the puzzle.
I'm on a roll here, guys.
Oh, jeez. Ryan's having a vision.
Don't stop me
what
now.
What do you see, Ryan?
So I'm just spitballing here. I'm just spitballing here. But why did he even need to do that? Because
he really
the
didn't.
Rest of his crew...
Like, as soon as he gets inside, one of the vampires is like...
Yeah, and like,
and then he just shoots them.
Yeah,
and the idea is like, okay, I'm doing this so they can't sense me coming in, and maybe they don't. But the rest of his crew, which are still humans, are like right behind him.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, something's off.
Something
wrong.
Also bothers me about that is like the fact that the vampires have them so easily outnumbered, and yet they scatter as if they were cockroaches. You know, just like as soon as there's trouble, it's like you're 10 times stronger and faster than these guys. And there's one of them's an old man, so I don't know. It just seems to me like the vampire union went on strike.
Well, who's gonna work for the working man, James?
James, I know. It sounded like you had a question about where this movie takes place.
Yeah, I do have a question. Is this in Mexico? Because the entire time I was convinced it was not Mexico.
Except for the scene where it said U.S. Post Office. You're fairly certain that was in Mexico.
Yeah, when it was like U.S. Post Office, Arizona, I was like, this has to be Mexico.
You know, that actually just ended up confusing me more. Because not even... It seemed like it wasn't even a full scene later. all of a sudden they're back in a Mexico looking place.
And they're just hopping the border like it's easy. And there's like, yeah, like a half phone conversation where Bon Jovi's like, what do you mean you don't recognize Vampire Hunter as a profession? And apparently it doesn't cause him any trouble because he hops the border like five more times.
It's like the people they talk to, well, like at least not towards the end of the movie, everybody they talk to has some shade of a Spanish accent, if that. But it's still like, why? I'm not convinced, especially in the diner. It's like the waitress comes up. She's like, can I help you, hon? I was just like, are we in Mexico? No, I know. I think not.
I know that you asked that question. Like, a lot of times.
The whole movie.
It was a valid point throughout the entire movie, so yeah. I don't begrudge you that.
Okay.
We're talking about accents. Can we talk about the woman's just total lack of acting and accent? She has,
total lack of intonation.
She has, like, one line where she almost acts, where she's like, they'll get them all at night. And that was, like, the closest she comes to acting the entire movie. What was that monologue she has?
I think she was probably just a little chilly.
She was chilly.
I don't plan on becoming a vampire, and I certainly am not just a girl. I'm a woman, and furthermore,
the likes of which,
I have my medication, of which I have plenty.
Of which.
I felt his presence. He's come for me. He can feel when I'm near. That's why I have to go. As long as I stay, I'm endangering the group and our mission here. I have to face him. You know, stuff like that.
Performed it even better than she did.
Yeah. I must applaud you, sir. That was quite well done.
Yeah.
I'd also like to ask what everybody... Well, I know Ryan and I were kind of on the same wavelength here, but that whole part where the female vampiress...
Right. So Zoe gets...
Yeah.
Okay. Can we talk about the capture scene before that?
Yeah.
When Zoe gets captured?
Yes.
Please.
This is the big moment where the vampire master she takes the medicine and she can walk in broad daylight. And Zoe gets up and runs away at Bon Jovi's behest.
What? What is she?
She's a runaway. She's a little runaway. Daddy's girl in France. Well, thing she couldn't say.
Nice weaving.
But she ran right. She ran away right into a clothesline, got herself wrapped up in a cloth,
like
and
a
immediate
jump flip into it too,
and immediately got knocked unconscious. I guess.
Yeah, and then just wrapped her up, and it was like, well, I guess I'm gonna take this away.
It was
like the most awkward looking thing.
It was obviously because. The actress who played the vampire could not lift a human being, and so they had to swap it out with a dummy, and they couldn't figure out how to do it. So, she just runs into a clothesline and covers her up nicely with this blanket and keeps her warm and safe. And
yeah, it was very well. It was funny to watch.
It was fantastic to watch. It's one of my favorite parts of the movie.
And now the weird interaction they have right after in the little...
Yeah, there's this one like shot that drags just a little too long, and then it's like this other dramatic beat comes up where they... I don't know, how would you describe it? Give me a play-by-play here.
Well, there's obviously some sexual tension there.
Oh, yeah. I think there's some sexual tension since she licked your neck in the cafe.
To me, the scene, you know, it was quite a beautiful scene. It really played like... two actors who had forgotten their lines and they're slowly circling each other, trying to find the words of the scripts, which they just don't care about and haven't memorized. But yeah, it ends up, the vampire woman, she kind of leans in, she dances back out in this awful choreography and presses herself against the wall, and the music is building and building all the way up to the climactic bite scene, which Zoe just then tries to off herself to avoid the whole thing.
Yeah, she just jumps out the window without any indication that there's a way to stop herself from falling.
And there happens to be a rope out there.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
She
it was like, oh, that was lucky.
Like, she doesn't discover the rope till she's halfway down to the bottom of the floor.
Yeah.
See, to me, that was a move. That was the move of a desperate actor who has just reached rock bottom in her career and just.
As a metaphor.
Yeah, exactly. It was a metaphor.
She's going to be working on the docks in
for
no time.
But I also think that was what really was happening.
Well, yes. There wasn't anything with depth exactly in this movie.
Steven, you were saying that the surfboard was going to come into play as a weapon.
I didn't see that. This movie
remember
wrong.
When you lied to us?
Yeah,
I do.
Because I like Bon Jovi's just going through the desert on his steel horse, if you will, like, and he's got all of these weapons that for some reason don't go past the Middle Ages. So I was just very confused why a surfboard was in there. Especially, are we in Mexico? Because I don't think he went surfing there at all. He didn't go to Cancun.
Yeah,
he was on the desert.
Complete wrong spot.
Well, he probably didn't go to Cancun because he didn't want to be another wave in the ocean. So.
Yeah.
And here's the problem I have with setting this movie in Mexico. It's like, but how am I supposed to know the good side from the bad? I just wanted to let you...
I love how you just bring the podcast to a grinding halt every time you speak. It really makes for...
Stop.
Michael, you always do this.
Is that a thing? Is that a thing?
Yes.
You're giving yourself points over here. I'm not sure what for.
I'm not, actually.
Well, mostly because of my father, I guess.
Can we talk about the soundtrack a little bit?
Can we?
When Derek Bliss's theme first starts pumping at the beginning of the movie, we're all bobbing our heads a little bit. It's no Troll 2 theme, but we're getting into it.
Not nearly as good of a like an organ solo there.
Oh man, imagine if that song did have an organ solo.
I mean, it would just blow my mind.
Oh my gosh, that'd be the best. But then, you know, I said before, much like Chicago in the movie Little Miss Sunshine, whenever they board the bus mm-hmm. to move on to a new location, Chicago by Sufjan Stevens plays.
Which I love that song.
Uh-huh.
I love that album.
Yeah, that's a great song. And this song is not quite as good as that. But
it's good the first time, and then you're like, oh, I've listened to this five times throughout the course of this movie.
Every time they get back on the vampire killing mobile, that song plays again, and it definitely gets old after a while.
Yeah, and after hearing it so many times, I'm like, I don't believe it.
Again, Michael,
I just couldn't believe that they were recycling the same song over and over and over and over.
They promised us heaven, they gave us hell, is what they did.
Is that a All-American Rejects that you're going for then?
Oh, yeah.
When you see my face, hope this song gives you hell. Something like that.
That is a song.
However,
it is a song.
However good Bliss's theme is, the rest of the soundtrack just does not hold up to that level of quality.
Wait, what do you mean the rest of the soundtrack?
The other 30 tracks.
The other three times that song plays.
Okay.
That's what I mean.
Wait, there was more? There were other songs?
The other time the soundtrack stood out was in the barroom scene, which I believe is one of Michael's favorite parts of the movies, or at least one of the ones that got the most reaction out of him. Whenever they kill the guy by throwing him up into a light fixture.
That was actually great.
Like, I don't know. He just somehow is dead after
they
that.
He's dead after hitting Christmas lights. And then as he's hanging there upside down, they just give like a not that strong of a looking karate chop to the neck and it decapitates him completely.
To be fair, vampires.
You know what I like, though? The fact that they cleaned it up. Like, they were like, well, before we kill this guy, we got to get all these balls off the
ground. Oh, yeah.
You know? And super fast motion, too.
That stuff gets slippery when wet.
They really didn't show the same amount of care to the felt of the actual pool table, though.
Oh, no. It was all about the balls.
As usual. It is all
gotta
about
keep
the balls.
Them polished.
Polished?
Polished.
And I want my lamp back.
John Bunn polished.
I'm going to need it to get out of this slimy mud hole.
What are you even doing? I'm looking for a pattern here.
Mudhole? I can't figure it out. Slimy? My home this is.
The other thing that really stood out to me is the editing, of course. It's totally crappy. Just no other way I can put it. It's
totally crappy.
That random fade to black.
That was great.
There was the one.
You mean the gasp? Fade to black. Bring Becca.
I think it was just a way of like, well, we already shot them coming into the room, but we want them to come in a different order. Fade to black, and then just, yeah, now Jam Band Javi can be in front.
You know, from editing class at film school, I learned that match cutting is actually one of the last things you look for whenever you're editing a scene. Mm-hmm. Even so, I thought this movie could have used a little bit more of it. It's just so many times that, you know, I think camera placement had a lot to do with this too, because the way they outlined their shots just, it really did them no favors when they were trying to cut it all together. It's just, you can see everything. There's so much headroom in a lot of shots.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Yeah, there's just a lot of continuity errors and random fades and wipes, as we were, as you just said.
Yeah.
Just really shoddy stuff.
Yeah, I think my uncle knows him. He said he was dead.
The editor?
Yeah.
Your uncle knows the editor of Vampire's Little Smart?
Yeah.
So your uncle's dead or the editor's dead?
He thinks he's dead. That's all we know.
He said he was dead.
Is he undead?
Wait, who said he was dead?
Who's on first?
My uncle.
Also, why was the black guy the only guy who wasn't allowed to sleep in the freaking van?
So you know what? Until you brought that up just now, I completely forgot that there was a black guy in that movie. Because he dies halfway through, and that's it. Yeah.
He dies halfway through, and like, he, well, first of all, I thought he was dead after he got that mystical vampire blowjob, which he didn't, I guess.
And
he
for some
was
reason,
just mind seduced.
Yeah, and for some reason, after that, like, they show him becoming a vampire when he's dead, but like, there's scenes where he's walking in broad daylight, and he doesn't have any like medication to let him do that.
See, I just assumed that he had stolen some of Zoe's medication.
The black guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you're jumping on a black guy for stealing?
Whoa, you just assumed
that's a little racist,
he
dude.
Stole some medicine.
Holy
he
crap,
just needed
Ryan.
A little something for the pain, Ryan. Is that what you're saying?
God.
Wow.
He did it, okay. I didn't see him do it, but I know he did it.
God, you're such an ignorant plane drifter.
Whoa.
What, you can accuse the black guy of stealing and I can't drop a hard P-bomb?
Dude, the P-bomb, that's a completely different story, okay? That's in a whole nother league.
That is our word.
Two words. I understand, R2. Fire up the converters.
I just don't know. Let's rate this movie.
Do we have a... Yeah, okay. Should I go first?
Yes, please.
Wait, I thought we were only like halfway there. Are we already towards the end?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go first.
I'm not such a bad pilot myself. I can do it.
Okay, fine. Michael, you go first.
Hey, Biggs, I told you I'd make it. F.
All right.
Ooh.
Oh, wait, I thought Steven was going first.
No, I let him go for it.
Oh, okay.
I have a bad feeling about this.
Your bad feeling is quite
You're supposed to say that beforehand.
Bad acting. Not quite plot holes, but like really obtuse plot structures that don't quite go all the way. They got lazy. It's not even one of those movies that's like so bad it's funny, like Troll 2.
It's like just bad.
Here's the thing. It's so bad it's good to enjoy with your friends.
Yeah.
Like, I would have never survived this movie without you guys in the room.
Yeah, so. That's the way I watched it the first time. Pac was like, look at this ridiculous movie. Oh my gosh. Saving Grace is Sir John Bon Jovi. I'm going to give it a D.
Has Bon John Bovi. Has he been knighted?
No, but I call him sir.
Hold on. Just speaking of John Bon Jovi, you know, between his howling and you blasting everything in sight, it's a wonder the whole station doesn't know we're here.
He does kind of howl when he sings.
The whole TV station?
His singing is, you know, you could. It's comparable to howling, I would say. Yeah, that makes sense. I'll go next, I guess. It's a really bad movie. I wasn't expecting anything great from it though, so it's not too disappointing, I guess. It didn't horrify me with its awfulness as much as Troll 2 did. Is there such thing as a D-?
In my scale, sure. I was contemplating D plus or D.
There's
definitely a D minus.
There's an E.
There's also
I'm not going to give it an E.
There's even an F minus.
I don't think there's such thing as an F plus or F minus.
No.
I'm going to use it at some point.
I'm going to go D minus.
Okay.
I'll go next, unless Steven, you.
He already did.
Oh. Wait, never mind. I'd say the cringe, especially the so-called lead female actress, only female actress, I guess, despite the vampiress who had a grand total of three lines. Just cringeworthy dialogue.
Both in writing and delivery.
Both in writing and delivery. The plot, or rather the dramatic beats that seem to not need to be there, the sort of roundabout logic of everything, and especially considering most of the characters, I don't even remember their names, I'm going to have to go with a D- as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Michael, while you're giving us an aggregate, I have an email from Samantha. It looks like she's going to be going for some points here, Stephen, if you feel like including those. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't remember a whole lot, but I do remember being disappointed that not a single Bon Jovi song was used.
Yes.
When is there a better occasion for Dead or Alive than after Bon Jovi slays a vampire in the desert? Shot through the heart with a silver bullet, and you're to blame. The possibility are endless. I also fondly remember Paco being our official tour guide of the locations. If I had to pick a vampire movie between this one or Twilight, I would always choose Bon Jovi slaying vampires in the dusty roads and small churches of desert Mexico.
Is it Mexico?
Are we in Mexico?
All right, come on.
Still in question.
Come on. Why don't you take a look around? You know what's about to happen, what they're up against. They could use a good pilot like you. You're turning your back on them.
What good's a reward if you're not around to use it?
All right.
Well, NBC could use a good pilot right now. I agree.
Zing.
He didn't even have so much as a loaded six string on his back. Ooh.
All right, James, you just take care of yourself. I guess that's what you're best at, isn't it?
I'm sorry, James.
It's true. It's absolutely
true.
No,
it's not.
You got your reward and you're just leaving them?
Yeah,
wait,
that's right.
You got a reward? Steven, are you handing out rewards already?
I'm handing out points.
And now, James, you're just going to leave? You're going to take your points?
Yeah, that's right. Well, why don't you come with us? We could use a good pilot.
Again, NBC. They'd be good in a fight.
You'd be good in a fight, yeah.
Okay, Steven, do you want to mention what you're tallying up over there now?
So yeah, you've probably heard some paper rustling. I'm going to tell you what the challenge has been. You've probably guessed it, with Sir John Bon Jovi in this movie. And we mentioned I'm a Bon Jovi fan.
Again, not an actual knight.
Not a knight.
Steven just felt the need to pay it forward. It's a John Bon Jovi movie.
I'm going to give you that.
Oh, I forgot about
that.
I'm going
to give you that. You get that. Actually, no, I'm going to give you more than what I'm going to just...
Oh, wow.
That was a good one.
I will not fight you, Father.
It is pointless to resist, my son. Okay, so I sent this email out, and this is another part of the challenge. So how many Bon Jovi references are in this email I sent out about the challenge to do Bon Jovi references? I'm going to read it out so you have another chance to pick them out. Here's the challenge. Alrighty, gents, I'm giving you the greater part of a week to prepare for it. If you really want to win, I suggest you use these days to learn up. What's the challenge, you say? Well, before you ask me a question, you've got to raise your hands. That's right, I am making the challenge Bon Jovi themed. I know what you're saying. Say it isn't so, Stephen, but it is. It will consist of two stages. The second stage, to be played out during the normal challenge slot, will stay a surprise until we get into it in the podcast, but the first and main part will be played throughout, just like Michael's written challenge a month or so back. Here's how you get points. Make Bon Jovi references. The more you make, the more points you get. I have an entire system, but here's what you need to know. More obscure songs get you more points, so One Last Cigarette will get you more points than Living on a Prayer. Those two song titles don't count towards the total.
Okay.
Quoting verses like, Tommy used to work on the docks will get you more points than choruses like, oh, we're halfway there. It seems complicated, but as always, I've got the scoring under control. Also, when someone uses a phrase from a song, it's no longer available for anyone to use, meaning if anyone else use it again, it won't get you any points. I'm going to be playing along with my own secret set of rules, so you don't want me to get any song quotes in, because then you won't be able to use those quotes I make. On any other day, I'd just let you three handle playing the challenge, but I'm with you on playing the challenge this week. I want you to beat me at my own game, story of my life, am I right? Then I gave you some resources.
Hold on.
Let me know if you misunderstood any of these rules, and I can clear them up for you. You'll have to listen to more Bon Jovi every day to ace this challenge. Keep the faith, guys. I believe in you. Have a nice day.
First of all, it's not fair that you're participating. I will not fight you.
Father.
No. Okay. I've got my number. Never. How do we do this?
All right.
Six.
Six.
God.
Okay, Ryan, you go.
Ten.
The number was 12. Ran was closest.
Whoa!
You
closest
are
without going over.
Ryan, you get an extra 50 points.
Oh my gosh.
Jeez.
Feels so good.
All right. So, you know what? Let's let's do the bonus and then we'll tally everything up.
Okay.
So this was originally what the challenge was going to be, and I was like, "Wait, why don't I just like do this times 10 and make it throughout the entire podcast?"
Everybody, you're wrong, Steven. You have the power too. In time, you'll learn to use it as I have. The Force runs strong in my family. My father has it, I have it, and my sister has it. Yes, it's you, Steven.
Okay, so here's what the original challenge was, which we're getting to now.
You're making him tear up.
Just a bit. All right, guys, we're going to go around the table. Everybody's going to sing me a Bon Jovi song. The choice of song, more obscure songs get you more points, and the quality of singing it will be how I judge you.
Are we singing the full song?
Just just a chorus, just
because this
phrase.
Could get sad
just,
real quick.
Just
otherwise,
just a bit of it.
All right,
like you shouldn't be going longer than 15 seconds, 20 seconds tops.
Sounds like my sex life.
That's not a song.
It's also not true. I'd be a marathon man if I got 15 seconds.
All right, who wants to go first?
Can you just go back to quoting Star Wars, Michael? I liked you better when you were doing that.
Yeah, that was great. I love that. Let's do that in May.
I can go first. I don't have any obscure lyrics to quote, though, unfortunately. But
I'll give
it my best shot. Shot through the heart, and you're to blame. You give love a bad name. I played my part, and you play your game. You give love a bad name.
Bad name.
You give love a bad name.
That was great.
Yeah,
who's
well done.
Your love is like bad medicine. Bad medicine is what I need. Oh, she get up just like bad medicine. There ain't no doctor that can cure my disease.
Very nice, very
excellent.
Nice. James, you're up.
I'm a cowboy on a steel horse I ride. I'm wanted, wanted.
With some fries.
All right, I don't know where I'm supposed to be.
Wanted.
Dead or alive.
Okay.
With a side of fries.
Okay. While I tally up these points, why don't we go to a
quick commercial?
Hold on. I would just like to say something before you start your tally. I would just like you to know that the entire podcast, was quoting your favorite Jon Bon Jovi movie, as he is most known for playing Luke Skywalker.
In my mind.
Am I right?
Yes.
So, yeah, just letting that sink in there. Yeah.
Yeah, James, if you want to...
Absolutely.
We
do have an advertiser who would like to jump on our precious airtime, so...
Oh, by the way, did you guys check out Jerry Bennett and his Neon Cotton Gin last week?
I did not.
Oh, you guys didn't tune in for that one, huh?
Sorry.
No one else did. It got really bad ratings.
Oof. Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
Okay.
This probably explains why all of our sponsors have only been on for one episode.
One time, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, it absolutely does. Yeah.
I think we probably tank a lot of these
businesses. We are a sinking ship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you guys should all bail out now, sponsors, because...
I've checked out mentally.
It's too late for these guys. Do you find yourself in need of a delicious pre-dinner meal? Perhaps something to make your indie film shootout look more believable and professional? A slithery snack? A bloodthirsty whack? Look no further than Squids and Squibs. Squids and Squibs is the only prime retailer that offers only the highest quality squids fresh from the coast of Japan, as well as squibs that'll make on-screen wounds look like a true loss of human lifeblood. Need the main ingredient to a crispy calamari dish? Or perhaps fake blood-drenched extras in the background? Go no further than Squids and Squibs. Squids and Squibs on the corner of Gallagher and Figglesticks.
That is
a very busy intersection.
That's
the
place to be, really. Let's be honest.
You know, is it... I think it actually might be all of those businesses going out of business.
Exactly.
And
because
then
of their sponsorship of us.
Yeah, all of those businesses have actually been in the same lot.
Well, we have like just a staggering fee for sponsorship, so mm-hmm. I mean, it just goes to show.
They all pooled their money in that one lot.
It's very disproportionate to our viewing or our listening audience.
Yeah, and our time slot is pretty miserable.
Yeah.
Like, we go on at, like, 1 a.m., something like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. We
Oh, and the listeners we do have don't have any money.
And they skip commercials.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Because of TiVo?
Yeah.
It's really a dismal situation when you look at it.
Yeah.
I would like to say real quick, we don't have a full-on advertisement, but a big thank you to Cinnabon Jovi, the alternative to regular Cinnabon.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think they would have a lawsuit on their hand for using the full word Cinnabon in their title, but no.
No, sir.
Are they? What's the difference? Are they shaped like Bon Jovi's face?
Well, James, when it feels something like summertime, you know there's a whole lot of leaving going on. Where are they heading? They're heading down that lost highway over to Cinnabon Jovi's Cinnabon store.
Very good.
They just want you to have a nice
cinnamon
day.
Cinnamon rolls. It's like adhesive strips. You can't say Band-Aid. You can't call them Cinnabons. They don't sell Cinnabons. They sell cinnamon rolls. And we get in very tricky legal territory by saying that on our show.
All right, Steven, give us the breakdown.
All right, let's bounce. Here's what the scores are. And just so you know, I really had a really complicated scoring sheet. I was calculating for that entire...
We were all very intimidated.
Okay, with 225 points is James.
Woo!
Excellent work, sir. Excellent work.
With 205 points is Michael. And with 135 points is Ryan. So, congratulations, James McDoodles.
I'll golf clap.
Got
to
it
that.
Going on.
All right.
So, James is actually going to. Is he closing out this cycle?
Yeah, cycle three.
Okay. Yeah.
What's the tally now, actually?
What do you mean?
Remember how the first cycle through we were tallying who brought the most people out from under the rock?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't been keeping track.
I haven't. We'd have to look back.
So,
back when we were beautiful.
I'll go back. We'll do it next week.
Yeah.
I'll figure it out for next week.
He says you can't go back. I've been all around the world, and as a matter of fact.
All right, James.
No!
Just so you know,
from New Jersey to Tokyo. Then,
yeah. I was subtracting points from you every time I made a reference. I wasn't adding points to me.
What is our pick?
So, I wish that it had actually, that I had been able to pick a little earlier because, as you may or may not know, Hayao Miyazaki retired recently from Studio Ghibli. I mean, he's still going to have some sort of creative input in the films that are going to be coming out, but he's for all intents and purposes, he's retiring. He's hanging up his Miyazaki boots.
His boot-knocking boots.
All right. But in honor of his retirement, I thought I would pick one of his films that is my favorite, actually, Princess Mononoke.
I was going to say Princess Bride. I was like, James, that's not.
Although I would pick that. Have we all seen Princess Bride?
Yes. This is the one place where it's bad to see good movies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I saw it.
So who hasn't seen Princess Mononoke?
I have not seen it.
I have not. There
Ooh.
You go.
Have you all seen Howl's Moving Castle?
No. Nope.
Yes. You have seen that? All right. I'm glad I picked Mononoke, but maybe Howl's Moving Castle some other time.
Did he also do like ZZ's Journey? Is that him?
No. Kiki's Delivery Service? Yeah.
What's ZZ's Journey? That is a song
it's
by Lindsey
documentary,
Stirling.
The documentary about ZZ Top doing covers of Journey songs?
Yes.
Yeah.
In my opinion, Princess Mononoke is one of, if not the most mature of his films, and also kind of deals, while all of his films deal in the supernatural and demons and all that, this one sort of is a lot darker. And I love it for that.
Okay. I'm definitely looking forward to it because that's definitely an anime classic that I've overlooked.
It's a good one.
That's
a really
good
one.
Get back into some good anime.
And I will say that I'm going to request that we watch that with the lights on because anime puts me to sleep. Not a boredom thing, but my physiological reaction to anime puts me to sleep. So, yeah, I'm going to try.
Right. I think we can probably comply to a limited extent.
We'll keep the lights on, just not... In the room we're in.
Yeah.
Can we have a strobe light in front of us?
I really like the movie, except for the fact that it gave me a migraine.
Why do we throw a rave like 10 feet from watching the movie?
I don't know. Japanese, I took plenty of ecstasy, though, so make sure I keep drinking water or I could die.
The Arcade Fire concert, they closed out with Here Comes the Nighttime from their new album, and there's a part where the music, like, you know, it's a pretty slow, steady beat. There's a part later in the song where it really kicks up. During that part, they launched reflective confetti out into the crowd and threw on a strobe light.
Oh, jeez. Oh.
It was insane and intense, and that's everyone awesome. Was dancing around. It was so much fun.
And having seizures simultaneously.
That would kind of scare me.
It did a little bit. I got used to it, though.
Embrace the fear.
If you guys want to get in on the discussion for Princess Mononoke next week,
do your homework.
Watch the movie. Email us in fuarock@gmail.com or tweet us at fuarockpodcast. Boom. Got it.
You did.
Nailed it.
Two in a row. Yep.
I think you used like the 3-ish weeks we were off to practice.
Every night.
FUA Rock Podcast.
Every morning, Steven's like, Ryan, I need to get into the bathroom.
I'm almost done.
FUA Rock. FUA Rock. Steven, why don't you let us know what's going on with Hybrid Drive Pictures?
Well, guys, everyone pat yourselves on the back. We are 1 year old as of this Halloween. Good job.
Wow. We're like almost legal.
Yes. James? going along with being a year old, we're going to switch up our video release schedule because we've gotten busy in the last year, haven't we, guys?
Oh, boy.
Things are crazy.
No, yeah, when we first started, none of us had jobs, and now we all have jobs, so our schedules are understandably busy. So the new release schedule is comedy videos on Friday and hypervlogs on Monday. That should work better for post-production. And then, as always, From Under a Rock every Tuesday. So we're all over the week.
Pumping them out.
We'll be there for you.
Boom, boom, boom.
Blue jabs.
That's going to do it for this week's podcast. Let's go around the table for one more roll call.
I'm Steven.
I'm Michael.
I'm James McDoodles.
And I'm Ryan. And thank you once again for joining us for...
From Under a
Rock.
Oh.
Uh-oh. 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 Uh-oh.